from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
The bats come alive again for the Red Sox. They mash out 16 hits, post 11 runs against the Rangers, and win it 11-6 against Texas. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review, late night version of the Red Sox Review. Red Sox Review after dark. Zach Coe behind the glass. 617-779-7937, the number to call into the program. Again, 617-779-7937. Now, from an offensive perspective in today's game, this one really had everything, because you had the newcomer, Nick Sogard, making his major league debut. He comes through with a big two-run single in this game. You have the rookies once again showing up and showing out. Willier Abreu, Sadon Rafaela, both going deep and once again showing why they are among the most promising talents in the sport, and two guys that really should be talked about a lot more in terms of the Rookie of the Year conversation. You had Carita once again going deep. This guy is posting a career year. Rafael Devers, OPS over 1,000 at this point. He goes 2-for-4. He hits the ball hard 3 times tonight. When I say hit the ball hard, 3 times he hits it over 100 miles per hour. Rips a double. Rips a home run in the 9th inning. Thought you had a home run in the 1st inning as well. I know Will Fleming did, and rightfully so, because it actually was the 2nd inning. And rightfully so, because he scalded this one to left center field, but he ends up hitting it to the furthest part of the ballpark. But to my point, you had those elements. You had Jarren Duran once again showing off the legs. He gets a triple in this game. His major league leading 13th triple of the season. Up and down the lineup. Connor Wong back in his home state. 4 hits tonight. So really, it was an up and down performance. Everybody getting the job done. And this team continues to show why they're one of the most dynamic offenses in the sport. I think another part of the conversation is about the pitching side of things and how, you know, this team has regressed from a pitching perspective, bullpen withstanding, because the additions at the trade deadline are already stepping up. Lucas Sims has been good in 2 outings. Luis Garcia posts a scoreless 9th inning as well, and showing why those two guys were so important for what the Red Sox needed at the trade deadline. But Cutter Crawford ends up getting tagged with 4 homers tonight. So that might be, it is. The fact that he's given up 12 home runs over his last three games is definitely concerning. And we've been talking about this starting rotation and the concerns with that. So there was a lot of good. There was still some warning signs and some red flags, especially on the pitching front, but more specifically with Cutter Crawford. But in the end, a W is a W, and at this stage in the game, that's what you need. You need to rack up wins because the teams ahead of you are winning, in part because they're playing the White Sox. Like, the Royals just had them. Now the Twins have them. And if you didn't listen to our network post-game show, the White Sox have lost 18 games in a row. So you have to win. And we know how tough this August stretch is going to be for the Red Sox. Really, until the end of the month, do they finally get to take a breather. Because this Rangers team is below 500, but they are the reigning World Series champs. They still have a lot of those players back on this team, even if there are some injuries that they've been hit with, and they're not as sound a team as they were a year ago. You can't take them lightly, and the Red Sox didn't tonight because the bats showed up and showed out, and again, they win 11-6 here against the Texas Rangers. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Let us know how you're feeling after this one. Are you more optimistic thinking about the way the offense performed tonight, or are you more pessimistic about another tough outing from a starting pitcher where a guy like Cutter Crawford is still susceptible to the home run ball? Because I think there are two sides of the coin here tonight, with how good they were offensively, but still being a little worried about, okay, are these starters going to hold up down the stretch? That's all part of our conversation here tonight here on Red Sox Review. But now let's hear from the head man, Alex Cora, and what he had to say after an 11-6 Red Sox win over the Rangers.
We used the whole field, especially in that inning. We solved the problem right away. We were very aggressive early in counts, but not trying to do too much. We put some quality at bats. We ran the base as well, and then obviously we double out of the ballpark.
See a young player like Nick Sogard get the chance to make the most of it. How's that go down in the clubhouse?
It's awesome. Like I said before the game, I think he checked all the boxes throughout player development. We asked him to do a lot of things physically. Nutrition-wise, bat speed program, we play winter ball, and he had a great spring, right? And he was very patient. He did an outstanding job in Worcester, and he's going to help us. It was good, man, but we got to keep the ball in the ballpark, of course. He made some adjustments throughout, and then at the end, Seager got the hit, and Seaman got a cutter in the zone, hit out of the ballpark. Gave us enough because of where we are, but we got to figure out, he's been struggling with the long ball here for a while, so we'll check it out and see what's going on location-wise, pitch usage, everything that comes into play. And we know he's going to be okay. He feels strong. But, there's some big games coming. Obviously, we're in August, and he knows it. We just got to keep working.
How impressed have you been by Sims in two games here?
It's been good. Strike throwing is good. Like I said before, different organizations have different philosophies, right? And some of them is like get ahead and expand. With us, he's kind of like get ahead, stay ahead. And he's been doing an outstanding job. Garcia threw the ball well. Velocity is great. Wink did his job. Boos got a lefty out. So it took a lot, but we got the first one out of the way, which is important. That's something I talked to the staff about it. This whole like Fridays and not winning games, it put us in a bad spot, right? And going into the weekend. So you win that one, and then you got two chances to win the series, and we are in the business of winning series, and hopefully we can do that tomorrow.
With those two relievers, you said we're not the same bullpen as we were a couple days ago. How much confidence do you have in this group going forward?
It helps because you got those two, and Kelly, who needed a blow, he got it today. He'll be available tomorrow. Obviously, the two big boys, they're trending in the right direction, especially Marty. He'll be with us sooner rather than later. So little by little, we feel like we're back to where we were a month ago, and that's good news.
Doesn't get a lot of hype offensively, but just the job, kind of the job he's.
He's solid. Two strike hits, puts the ball in play, run the base as well. Obviously, behind the play, he's been solid for us. But offensively, it's night and day compared to last year, especially with two strikes, especially against lefties too. So very pleased. We can play with the lineup. Today was one of a different one, and it was good. Willie had a great game. So overall, like you guys said, offensively, it was an outstanding night.
Alex, Cutter's obviously given up a bunch of home runs in the last three games. Are you worried he's given anything away or anything?
No, no, we're not worried about that. No, no, no. I mean, if you look at the locations of the pitches, you know, it was supposed to be a fastball up. It was down the middle, cut her away. It backed up. So it's more about the pitch shape or characteristics than anything else.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 11-6 win over the Texas Rangers. And just that last part is really the most concerning part about tonight, the fact that Cutter Crawford gave up four home runs. But, you know, it was, I think, a fair question about is he giving something up to the hitters? And Alex Cora saying, no, it's just location. And that checks out in terms of what we watched tonight, because the location on the pitches he gave up for home runs, I mean, a lot of them are pretty, they're pretty in the zone, you know, these pitches that they're, that he's putting in there. Like, especially the first one to Corey Seager, fastball, pretty much center cut, and a guy like Corey Seager is going to hit that out. And then the cutter ends up getting hit out three times tonight. So it's something that we're going to have to continue to watch. Now, all but one of the home runs were solo jobs. So, you know, you can kind of get away with it a little bit when it's a solo home run rather than a grand slam or a three-run home run or more times than not a two-run home run. So in the end, he gets the win, and it's because of this offense and just how ridiculous it was again tonight. And if you missed the numbers that I rattled out earlier, but you know, this team has scored 87 runs now since the All-Star break in 13 games. So that's a clip of about 6.69 runs per game. Not to mention, Red Sox now 14-6 against the AL West, and they're the turf gods because they're now 10-0 on turf fields here in 2024. Nick Sogard, another one of the big stories from tonight. Here's a guy that had played in 266 games with over 1,000 plate appearances in Worcester, which is the most of any Wu Sox player in 4 years since the Red Sox AAA affiliate relocated from Pawtucket. And he was a guy that just had been in the minors for a long time and, you know, was able to kind of stick around, you know, but he worked to get to this point, as is the case for, you know, the players that are fringe prospects. He'd never been ranked among the team's top 30 prospects, but, you know, he was able to change some of his weight room routines to add some strength, and then he got on this bat speed training program during the 2023 season, and one of the emphases of that was to add some strength from the left-handed side, so he was able to improve his swing path from that side, and the numbers ended up really showing out this year, because overall he hit .279 with a .382 on base percentage, but he was able to put together a better line from the left-hand side. He hit the ball a lot harder. And here he is in his first big league start. He ends up getting a big hit tonight, a two-run single in the fourth inning, as part of what was just another glorious night for this offense. And I want to get more into it in the program and talk about Cutter Crawford. And on top of that, we will play in our next segment some sound from Nick Sogard, him talking after making his major league debut and his family in attendance there at Globe Life Stadium as well. So it was just all in all, just a really fun night here at in Arlington to see the Red Sox ultimately come away with this 11-6 win against the Texas Rangers. And sorry, Globe Life Field, I should say. I was like making sure I didn't screw that up. Globe Life Field is where they play, not Globe Life Stadium. But anyway, you get the point. Red Sox win 11-6 against the Rangers. Let's go to the phones for the first time. Let's go to David in Florida. He wants to talk Nick Sogard and the pitching staff. What's going on, David?
Hey, why did they bring this guy up? I mean, yeah, I know he's doing very well, but I mean, what was the reason from the major league perspective? I mean, did they release someone? I mean, Hamilton or why did they bring him up?
Well, they brought him up because they thought he could he could play the position. I mean, they've had brutal production from the second base spot. That's been one of the most, like, you think about what.
Yeah,
what's,
I mean, I'm sorry.
No. That's the reason they brought him up, because their second base production has been awful.
Yeah, well, I mean, Hamilton is in a slump, but they've got a surplus of second basemen between Hamilton and Remy and the other guys, but we'll see what he does. But how is he defensively?
He's good. That's why that's another reason they like him. Like, he can pick it at that spot.
All right. Now, what about the other guy? They traded for, the guy from Pittsburgh. What's his name?
Quinn Priester.
Yeah, is there any chance that he might see some playing time in the before the end of the season?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah, he looked promising.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance before the end of the season. I mean, you know, David, we never know how these things shake out, especially from an injury standpoint, you know, because he's right now, you know, a part of their depth, you know, in the minor leagues. Yeah. They're gonna work with. Yeah, go ahead.
The reason for all this is because, yes, their offense has been fabulous. But, you know, we all know that they're only going to go as far as their pitching and their defense can take them. And, I mean, in the postseason, if they make the postseason, you're going to be facing better teams. And if we're going to expect them to have to put up 6-7 runs to win a game, then they're going to be in tough shape. Because that's just not going to happen. And they have to find a way to fix the pitching staff. I mean, Crawford has been horrible the past, like you said, he's given up 12 home runs the past three outings. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You just can't do that.
Well, you're right on that. The pitching does need to get better. And that's actually, I think, a huge talking point about tonight, too, because, you know, their ERA by month has gotten worse.
Has been disastrous.
I'm not going to go as far to say disastrous, but it's gotten worse. I mean, they were at, you know, you take March and April, they were at 2.59, their ERA. Then in May, 4.12, June, 4.38, July, 4.91. So it is trending in the wrong direction.
Yes. And, I mean, Cora's got to find a way to stop the bleeding with that, because they're not even going to make the postseason if they continue to. If they continue to pitch as like they've been doing. So, I mean, the bullpen has been much better, which is a good thing, but they got to fix the starting pitching stuff. And that's it for tonight.
All right, David. David from Florida checking in.
It's always something.
It's always a roller coaster. You never know where it's going to go. But, you know, again, the Nick Sogard part of it, they wanted him up here at this level because Jamie Westbrook, it was the guy that they actually optioned back down to Worcester in part with some of the roster moves they made. So this was all done at the same time. They added Lucas Sims. They then also brought Nick Sogard up from Worcester to the big leagues with the Red Sox. They optioned Westbrook down and they DFA'd, DFA'd Johan Ramirez. And Jamie Westbrook, you look at the numbers, he just wasn't doing quite enough for this team offensively to keep him up here. So why not dip back into the minors, see who else has been playing well? And Alex Cora has brought up Nick Sogard as one of those guys that's been impressive in the minor leagues. He's talked about it on our station with Jones and Mego about the way he's played. And so you give him a chance and he produced. And you know, Westbrook's done that in games as well. And now it's Sogard's turn. And it's just a cool story, a guy that really, you know, it's these players that, you know, they put in the work down in the minor leagues, and you think there's a ceiling for them, and then they go through that ceiling and create another ceiling for themselves. Or, in some cases, they become ceilingless. But, you know, for Sogard, they want him to play his game. They want him to produce, obviously, offensively, and just play solid defense. Because when Vaughn Grissom's still working his way back, they have to figure out that second base spot, which has been, you know, I think from a production standpoint, it's just been a disaster for this team. You know, overall, you compare it to the rest of the league, they've been, in some categories, the worst or close to the worst production-wise at second base. So now it's Nick Sogard's turn to see what he can do. And he was pretty good tonight. And again, Red Sox, turf gods, 10-0. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Here on Red Sox Review, you can also text us at 37937 as well. Joe Weil, Zach Coe. We'll take a break, come back with more right after this here on WEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
1-2.
Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. It is back. Home run. Number 25 for Raffy. Off the lefty Chafin. And it is 10-6 Red Sox.
Too much for looking uncomfortable, huh?
Well, it's been a career year for Rafael Devers. Career home run number 197, by the way, and that's noteworthy because that's the most home runs in Red Sox history at age 27 or younger. He breaks a tie with Jim Rice. He's in an absolute groove right now, and he's got a 9-game hitting streak. In that span, he's 19 for 36. And, oh, yeah, the OPS above 1,000 as well. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. That was the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Again, the Red Sox, an 11-6 winner over the Texas Rangers tonight. So many offensive heroes. The rookies coming through, and it was several different rookies tonight. Sadon Rafaela, Willier Abreu, who have been the steady rookies for this team all season long. They both homered tonight. And then Nick Sogard made his major league debut for the Sox tonight, got the start at second base, and hit a big two-run single as part of a four-run fourth inning that allowed the Red Sox to take the lead for good. And one of the heroes tonight, great story as always, and well-deserved for a former Rays draft pick that ended up getting traded to the Red Sox in a deal for Jeffrey Springs, which obviously hurt at one point with Springs getting dealt from the Red Sox to the Rays in 2022. But Sogard makes his way to the big leagues and ends up delivering in a game like this. If you want to call in, 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones, go back to him, and hit up AJ in Dover, New Hampshire. He wants to talk Nick Sogard. What's going on, AJ?
How's it going?
It's going well, AJ. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Man, I don't know what the other caller was talking about. That's just classic Boston Hardo, is just not being satisfied with anything. You got this guy experiencing his first major league game. He made no negative plays. He contributed. And then you're going to ask, why did they bring him up? And is he good defensively?
AJ, you're welcome to the David from Florida experience. We love David from Florida, but that is what you get calls like that.
I actually was going to bring him up last week because I'm not, like, all right with the deadline. It's, like, C minus for me. But after that pass, I tend to look at the farm like, hey, who from down there possibly could come up and contribute? And I was actually looking at Meadrith and Sogard as maybe options to try to shore up second base and being righty bats. And I'm glad he delivered. And one more thing, I've been stomping the ground for Sedan Rafaela that his rookie of the year odds are way too long. And now that I got my work bonus and actually have enough chunk of a money that would make the bet worth it, it's plumbing in on me. It went from 800 to plus 650 on DraftKings. And when do you think it's going to go down again? Because I think he's closing the gap.
I agree with you, AJ. I completely agree with you. Wait, do you have anything else you want to add in before we expound upon that?
Yeah. So I think that they're still stacked in the middle infield, though. I'm not going to say that he's going to be a regular major leaguer, but with Sogard. But I actually think that, like York and Sogard, like boosting value this year, I think Meadrith is probably the highest he's going to get with a limited thing. And do you think that maybe his is one of the names to watch over the winter as maybe one of the next pieces to go that could bring back something of significance or, you know, something that could help us?
Yeah,
and AJ, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you, AJ. We got like 30 seconds here to get to that point. I think it's possible. I think with Chase Meidroth, the question mark with him, he gets on base a ton. That's part of his profile, and he does that so well. He's got a great, he's got great plate discipline. He knows the strike zone so well. I think the concern for him was just the hard hit rate and, you know, extra base hits and all that stuff. And that's why he's been in AAA, this entire season rather than, having made his way up to the big leagues. But, again, that's part of it. Just like, can you hit the ball hard? And that's where Nick Sogard has really brought himself into the conversation. We have more Red Sox review coming up right after this. More Nick Sogard talk. We'll hear from him right after this on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Here's Robbie Grossman. He pops it up in a shallow center field. Back on it, Rafaela. He's calling Duran off. He's there to make the play. And the Red Sox win the opener in Texas. 11-6, the final. They overcome four Ranger home runs. They blast three of their own, including Devers' 25th of the year. 11-6, the final. Sox on a roll.
Red Sox win back-to-back games for the first time since the All-Star break. This was a slugfest. Seven combined home runs between these two teams. But the Red Sox come out victorious. 11-6 over the Rangers. Joe Weil with you. Zach Coe behind the glass. Number to call in here, 617-779-7937. We're going to take here for another 10 to 15 minutes before we duck out. And this was overall just a fun day at the ball yard. Outside of the Cutter Crawford home runs that he allowed, which was four in total. And after the game, he ended up saying, the more frustrating side of it is I do feel good physically. I'm just getting hit, which in part is a good quote to hear because we worry about his innings and how they're racking up and he's going to blow past his career high in innings. And the fact that he's given up 12 home runs over the last three games. I mean, it just doesn't happen. 12 home runs over the last three games. That's an astronomical amount of home runs. But the Sox do so well offensively tonight, it gets relegated in part as a footnote because of the production up and down the lineup. And I want to just talk about the lineup a little bit and what they've done since the All-Star break. And again, 5-8 since the All-Star break, even with the win tonight. So it's not all positive in terms of what this team has done overall, because as you know, the pitching has been brutal since the All-Star break. And again, tonight they gave up six runs against the Rangers, although the bullpen's been good. Last 2 days, the bullpen's been very good. And the bullpen was so bad coming out of the shoot, and it was, a mixture of bad performance, and then on top of that, no Justin Slayton, no Chris Martin was really hurting them. but they added at the trade deadline to get Lucas Sims, to get Luis Garcia, who are already paying dividends for this team. I really like Sims. Zach, I don't know how you feel, but like the fact that they've already messed with the arsenal and the fact that, you know, he's not going to that four-seam fastball anymore, he looks pretty nasty. And he's one of those guys, like, you look at the numbers and you say he's pretty good, but let's be honest, I haven't watched him all that much before these last two games.
Yeah, initially I was pretty underwhelmed with getting him because I knew him as a failed starting pitching prospect. I mean, like you said, like, I'm not watching middle innings Reds games looking, being like, oh, Lucas Sims is pretty solid. So I wasn't thrilled about it at first, but good early return.
I'm imagining you as like a late 90s Yankees fan and just not buying into the concept of Mariano Rivera because he was a failed starting prospect. Like, this guy's not any good.
Yeah, and another one, Jonathan Papelbon.
Jonathan Papelbon, obviously.
Yeah, list goes on and on. And I still was not a believer.
I'm just having fun. But I want to talk about the offense because these are the numbers. These were the numbers for the offense coming into tonight. Since the All-Star break, first in average, first in slugging. This is a Major League Baseball. This isn't just the American League. Second in OPS. They were only behind the Yankees. And it's because of a stretch like this, and you even take it back to since July, they've been second in average on base, slugging, and OPS, only behind the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have been hitting the cover off the ball recently, and they actually had a 9-run performance today offensively. But what's amazing to me is this offense is, you know, we've kind of said it over on the program the last, I think, couple weeks. You know, Zach, you've probably heard me say this, like, I say, like, conservatively, they're a top 10 offense. Not to say they don't have any holes there because they do strike out too much, but they're top 10 in all these categories. Runs, homers, doubles, average, on-base, slugging, OPS. Top 10 in all of them. And stolen bases, by the way, too. Average third. Again, this is all coming into tonight. On-base percentage six, slugging second. Fourth in OPS. This is a team that, as you know, pretty much the entire season has not had Tristan Casas, has not had Trevor Story. And I remember doing some preseason talks on this station. I do some work at CBS News Boston, too, where I talked myself into this team having a top 10 offense. But part of that was, oh, Tristan Casas will take a sophomore year leap and they'll get a resurgence season from Trevor Story.
That was pretty much what everyone was dreaming on. I mean, I know I said it a million times too, that the offense was going to be what carries the team. The pitching staff was the big question mark going into the year. And the offense has been really good too, but obviously the pitching staff has been, for the most part, great.
So, and Zach, I think it's like fun to look at the reality of what's actually shaken, right? Those were all the prognostications again, and I made those, you know, again, like, okay, it's going to be Tristan Casas leading the way for this team offensively with Devers, obviously, but Trevor Story would be a part of the equation too. Instead, you have Jarren Duran putting together one of these, like, once in a century, like, you know, seasons in which he's doing all these different things, hitting for power, the speed, extra base hits, all that stuff. And then you add on top of that, he's playing every single game. So we expected him to be good, at least I did, after last year. But he's been, you know, he's obviously already an all-star game MVP. He's having like an all-world season that we're going to remember this season, I think, for a long time. You have these rookies playing like top-tier rookies. I mean, what Willier Abreu's done this year, I mean, I almost feel like it's flown under the radar a little bit. I know he was hurt more recently, right? So maybe that's a part of it. But he came into today leading all major league rookies in slugging percentage. And he had another great day at the plate in which he hit a home run that gave them the lead, batting in the sixth spot, hit a single in the fourth inning. He hit a single in the sixth, too. And all of a sudden, this is a guy, you know, again, his slugging percentage is now at 500. He's a rookie. Sadon Rafaela. We had AJ from Dover calling in about placing a bet on Sadon Rafaela being the rookie of the year. Now, I think the votes are probably going to lean toward Luis Gil still, if you look at like wins above replacement, but he deserves all-star consideration.
I think the betting favorite right now is Langford.
Which doesn't, I don't know if that makes sense to me, honestly.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense to me
either. I think if you look at, like, WAR, it's heel. I'm pretty sure both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, that's, and again, you shouldn't, you know, conversations don't just end by saying, okay, wins above replacement. I think there's more that goes into it, but, I mean, because with Rafaela, again, he's playing center field and shortstop. Like, those are two very demanding positions. And he's hitting now, too.
Do you only get the pick if your guy wins Rookie of the Year, or is it like a top three finish?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm trying to remember that now. I think it's the top three finish, right?
Either top three or two.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly.
I'm trying to remember now, too, what the rule is. We'll look that up. But again, going just in finishing out this conversation about the offense, what the reality has become is you have Jarren Duran with this all-world season, these rookies really stepping up and performing and becoming real pieces. Dom Smith is now beloved by the whole city of Boston, and rightfully so. I love that sign that fan Tyler had about he's not the step first baseman, he's the first baseman who stepped up. I mean, he had a 920 OPS in the month of July. And today he hits an RBI double in the ninth inning. He's been awesome. What's our ruling here?
It's only the winner.
Only the winner. Okay, there you go.
But you can get another one if you finish top three in MVP or Cy Young voting before you hit arbitration.
Got it. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's one of those, like, I know it's out there, but I forgot what it was right off the top of my head. So thank you, Zach. But anyway, just to finish it out, Connor Wong, one of the best offensive catchers in the sport. And Rafael Devers is having the best season of his career, unequivocally. Unequivocally.
OPS up over 1,000 now.
Yes. Yeah, over 1,000. And we talked about 9-game hitting streak, too. And then on top of that, you got Tyler O'Neill. It's been a great right-handed presence, smashing lefties. One of the best hitters against left-handed pitchers all year. One of the great moves that Craig Breslow has already made. Talk about OPS. His is above 900. Yoshida's been swinging it better. Pete Fatsy has done an incredible job with this group. Incredible. That story that came out today, I don't know if you read this one, Zach, but from Julia McWilliams of the Boston Globe, and I say today, it's yesterday now. We've gone past midnight. Red Sox Review After Dark. Still going.
But aren't they all after dark, technically?
Shh. I feel like when it goes like past 11:30, more so after dark, but especially when it's past midnight.
That's fair.
But there was a great story today from Julia McWilliams about Dom Smith and, you know, trying to get him back. You know, it was like, okay, what's allowed him to be as good a hitter as he's been? And it was Pete Fatsy going back and dusting off some old tapes from his high school days, Dom Smith's high school days. To understand his swing, the foundation of it, and then to remind Dom Smith of, like, okay, like, you know, obviously it was high school, but, like, there's a reason you got drafted out of high school, you know, and they went back to the basics, and here he is now, like, he's playing like Casas of the second half last year, you know, at least in some ways, swinging it like he is. And again, the city loves Dom Smith.
It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Dom Smith when Casas is healthy, because I got to feel like they want to keep him around, but what does that do for your bench having a first base only left-handed option?
Right, right. And it's a fascinating question. And I think also, too, like, you know, because we hit on this earlier, too, Zach, the conflicting reports today, or the not conflicting reports, it was the conflicting quotes that Tristan Casas gave today, and maybe we could recap that for people right now. So there was a quote that came from Laura Stickles, who does the Nesson field reporting for the Woo Sox game. She does a great job, and Tristan Casas gave this quote to her. It was, right now when I make contact with the ball, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife right in the ribs. And then he said, right when it happened, I felt like I got shot with a gun, so it's dulled down. So he's saying, okay, it still feels bad, but it feels better. But, like, you read that, and that's so concerning to read. We were just talking about it off air. It's like, you read a quote like that, you're like, why is he even trying to play if that's how he feels? But then Chris Cotillo put this out there, that this is what he said later in the, you know, when he was talking to the media. It was a, I think this was a separate conversation that he had with the more, with the Boston-based reporters. Chris Cotillo's, you know, he's down there in, he's down there in Worcester, right, reporting on the rehabbing here for Tristan Casas, and he says, this is what Tristan Casas said to Chris Cotillo. He said, every swing is 100% effort in there. Then he says, there was not even a thought in my mind that anything was going to hurt when I go in there. So then a question was asked, so you're not feeling it at all? And he said, no, I'm not. In the back of my mind, I'm not holding anything back. He said, the swing is feeling good. Pain is minimal. I'm ready to keep going and continue this process. It's been a long one. A lot of work still to be done. So these quotes came from Tristan Casas, but it was just a much different feeling reading both of them. You know, they two different directions. One, it's like it still hurts a lot, and then the other one's like, no, it doesn't.
It's interesting that he says when he swings, it's 100%, but it sounds like, I mean, at least in the first quote, the stabbing pain is only when he makes contact.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's a good catch there, Zach. Right. So the one that he gave to Laura was, when right now, when I make contact with the ball, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife in the ribs. And right, the one that Chris Cotillo reported on is every swing is 100% in there, not even a thought in my mind that anything was going to hurt. Yeah, right. Instead, he said, later said, the swing is feeling good. The pain is minimal. I'm ready to keep going and continue this process. It's been a long one. I know. It's one of those I need to see it, him playing consistently, to truly believe that he's going to be coming back.
Yeah, and it seemed like that consistency wasn't necessarily going to come until next week.
Right, right. And what Chris Cotillo ended up, of Mass Live, he ended up reporting later, you know, just putting it out there, that Woo Sox manager Chad Tracy said the organizational plan is to have Casas play 5 of the 6 games in Syracuse next week, including 3 in a row. So this weekend, so tomorrow he's going to be a DH, and then Sunday he's going to play first base. But then it's next week he'll be really playing more consistently. So we'll see. I think, Zach, that's kind of where my head's at with it, is like, you know, unless he's really messing around by giving out that first quote, I think that I want to see it first, see him feel pain-free, you know, before we really can even have those conversations about Dom Smith, because if he's still hurting, you need Dom Smith in this lineup and on this roster.
Yeah, so I think I maybe just pieced it together while we were going through this. So Casas obviously has to be back up in 20 days or placed back on the IL.
Yeah.
So maybe they bring him back up in however many days and do a slow sort of ramp up, and maybe you have Nick Sogard who has options. You send him back down. Romy kind of fills in that utility infield role, and then you can slowly ramp Casas back up and then still have Dom Smith there who's been playing solid.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, and it would make, I think that would make sense. And that's the beauty of having Romy Gonzalez too, is that you can place him in so many different spots. He's been great too. I don't know. I look at the offensive side of this team. Like, I just love the makeup right now. And I don't think it's a fluke at all. And that's like, that's what makes it fun. They go into any start against a right-handed pitcher specifically, it's like, yeah, they're probably going to win this game. Or at least they're going to put up a lot of numbers on the offensive side of things. And you and I were talking about this too. Like, we've talked about the left-handed pitching conversation against Red Sox hitters. I feel like it's a little bit overblown, because they're probably better than you think they are. I know that they're below 500 against left-handed starting pitchers, but against left-handed pitchers in general, OPS is 12th, so it's a little bit better than league average. On base is 7th. You know, the average-wise, they're dead in the middle of 15th, or right in the middle of 15th, and they walk a lot. The biggest problem they have is they strike out a ton. They have the worst strikeout rate against left-handed pitchers. But this team can bang it with anybody, as they showed again tonight.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Here's Robbie Grossman. He pops it up in a shallow center field. Back on it, Raffaele. He's calling Duran off. He's there to make the play. And the Red Sox win the opener in Texas. 11-6, the final. They overcome 4 Ranger home runs. They blast 3 of their own, including Devers' 25th of the year. 11-6, the final. Sox on a roll.
Red Sox win back-to-back games for the first time since the All-Star break. This was a slugfest. 7 combined home runs between these two teams. But the Red Sox come out victorious, 11-6 over the Rangers. Joe Weil with you, Zach Coe behind the glass. Number to call in here, 617-779-7937. We're going to take you here for another 10 to 15 minutes before we duck out. And this was overall just a fun day at the ball yard. Outside of the Cutter Crawford home runs that he allowed, which was 4 in total. And after the game, he ended up saying, the more frustrating side of it is I do feel good physically. I'm just getting hit, which in part is a good quote to hear because we worry about his innings and how they're racking up and he's going to blow past his career high in innings. And the fact that he's given up 12 home runs over the last 3 games. I mean, it just doesn't happen. 12 home runs over the last 3 games. That's an astronomical amount of home runs. But the Sox do so well offensively tonight, it gets relegated in part as a footnote because of the production up and down the lineup. And I want to just go to just talk about the lineup a little bit and what they've done since the All-Star break. And again, 5-8 since the All-Star break, even with the win tonight. So it's not all positive in terms of what this team has done overall, because as you know, the pitching has been brutal since the All-Star break. And again, you know, tonight they gave up 6 runs against the Rangers, although the bullpen's been good. Last 2 days, the bullpen's been very good. And the bullpen was so bad coming out of the shoot, and it was, you know, a mixture of bad performance, and then on top of that, no Justin Slayton, no Chris Martin was really hurting them. but they added at the trade deadline to get Lucas Sims, to get Luis Garcia, who are already paying dividends for this team. I really like Sims. Zach, I don't know how you feel, but like the fact that they've already messed with the arsenal and the fact that, you know, he's not going to that four-seam fastball anymore. He looks pretty nasty. And he's one of those guys, like, you look at the numbers and you say he's pretty good. But let's be honest, I haven't watched him all that much before these last two games.
Yeah, initially I was pretty underwhelmed with getting him because I knew him as a failed starting pitching prospect. I mean, like you said, like, I'm not watching middle innings Reds games looking, being like, oh, Lucas Sims is pretty solid. So I wasn't thrilled about it at first, but good early return.
I'm imagining you as like a late 90s Yankees fan and just not buying into the concept of Mariano Rivera because he was a failed starting prospect. Like, this guy's not any good.
Yeah, and another one, Jonathan Papelbon.
Jonathan Papelbon, obviously.
Yeah, list goes on and on. And I still was not a believer.
I'm just having fun. But I want to talk about the offense because these are the numbers for the off. These were the numbers for the offense coming into tonight. Since the All-Star break, first in average, first in slugging. This is a Major League Baseball. This isn't just the American League. Second in OPS. They were only behind the Yankees. And it's because of a stretch like this, and you even take it back to since July, they've been second in average on base, slugging, and OPS, only behind the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have been hitting the cover off the ball recently, and they actually had a 9-run performance today offensively. But what's amazing to me is this offense is, you know, we've kind of said it over the on the program the last, I think, couple weeks. You know, Zach, you've probably heard me say this. Like, I say, like, conservatively, they're a top 10 offense. Not to say they don't have any holes there because they do strike out too much, but they're top 10 in all these categories: runs, homers, doubles, average, on base, slugging, OPS. Top 10 in all of them, and stolen bases, by the way, too. Average third. Again, this is all coming into tonight. On base percentage six, slugging second. Fourth in OPS. This is a team that, as you know, pretty much the entire season has not had Tristan Casas, has not had Trevor Story. And I remember doing some preseason talks on this station. I do some work at CBS News Boston too, where I talked myself into this team having a top 10 offense. But part of that was, oh, Tristan Casas will take a sophomore year leap and they'll get a resurgence season from Trevor Story.
That was pretty much what everyone was dreaming on. I mean, I know I said it a million times too, that the offense was going to be what carries the team. The pitching staff was the big question mark going into the year, and the offense has been really good too, but obviously the pitching staff has been, for the most part, great.
So, and Zach, I think it's like fun to look at the reality of what's actually shaken, right? Those were all the prognostications, again, and I made those. You know, again, like, okay, it's going to be Tristan Casas leading the way for this team offensively with Devers, obviously, but Trevor Story would be a part of the equation too. Instead, you have Jarren Duran putting together one of these, like, once in a century, like, you know, seasons in which he's doing all these different things, hitting for power, the speed, extra base hits, all that stuff. And then you add on top of that, he's playing every single game. So we expected him to be good, at least I did, after last year. But he's been, you know, he's obviously already an all-star, all-star game MVP. He's having like an all-world season that we're going to remember this season, I think, for a long time. You have these rookies playing like top-tier rookies. I mean, what Willier Abreu's done this year, I mean, I almost feel like it's flown under the radar a little bit. I know he was hurt more recently, right? So maybe that's a part of it. But he came into today leading all major league rookies in slugging percentage. And he had another great day at the plate in which he hit a home run that gave them the lead, batting in the sixth spot, hit a single in the fourth inning. He hit a single in the sixth too. And all of a sudden, this is a guy, you know, again, his slugging percentage is now at 500. He's a rookie. Sadon Rafaela. We had AJ from Dover calling in about placing a bet on Sadon Rafaela being the rookie of the year. Now, I think the votes are probably going to lean toward Luis Gil still, if you look at like wins above replacement, but he deserves all-star consideration.
I think the betting favorite right now is Langford.
I don't know if that makes sense to me, honestly.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense to me.
I think if you look at like WAR, it's heel. I'm pretty sure both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. That's and again, you shouldn't. You know, conversations don't just end by saying, okay, wins above replacement. I think there's more that goes into it. But I mean, because with Rafaela, again, he's playing center field and shortstop. Like those are two very demanding positions, and he's hitting now too.
Do you only get the pick if your guy wins Rookie of the Year, or is it like a top three finish?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm trying to remember that now. I think it's the top three finish, right?
Either top three or two.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly.
I'm trying to remember now, too, what the rule is. We'll look that up. But again, going just in finishing out this conversation about the offense, what the reality has become is you have Jarren Duran with this all-world season, these rookies really stepping up and performing and becoming real pieces. Dom Smith is now beloved by the whole city of Boston, and rightfully so. I love that sign that fan Tyler had about he's not the step first baseman, he's the first baseman who stepped up. I mean, he had a 920 OPS in the month of July. And today he hits an RBI double in the ninth inning. He's been awesome. What's our ruling here?
It's only the winner.
Only the winner. Okay, there you go.
But you can get another one if you finish top three in MVP or Cy Young voting before you hit arbitration.
Got it. There you go. There you go. That's one of those, like, I know it's out there, but I forgot what it was right off the top of my head. So thank you, Zach. But anyway, just to finish it out, Connor Wong. One of the best offensive catchers in the sport. And Rafael Devers is having the best season of his career, unequivocally. Unequivocally.
OPS up over 1,000 now.
Yes. Yeah, over 1,000. And we talked about 9-game hitting streak, too. And then on top of that, you got Tyler O'Neill. It's been a great right-handed presence. Mashing lefties. One of the best hitters against left-handed pitchers all year. One of the great moves that Craig Breslow has already made. Talk about OPS. His is above 900. Yoshida's been swinging it better. Pete Fatsy has done an incredible job with this group. Incredible. That story that came out today, I don't know if you read this one, Zach, but from Julia McWilliams of the Boston Globe, and I say today, it's yesterday now. We've gone past midnight. Red Sox Review After Dark. Still going.
But aren't they all after dark, technically?
Shh. I feel like when it goes like past 11:30, more so after dark, but especially when it's past midnight.
That's fair.
But there was a great story today from Julia McWilliams about Dom Smith and, you know, trying to get him back. You know, it was like, okay, what's allowed him to be as good a hitter as he's been? And it was Pete Fatsy going back and dusting off some old tapes from his high school days, Dom Smith's high school days. To understand his swing, the foundation of it, and then to remind Dom Smith of, like, okay, like, you know, obviously it was high school, but, like, there's a reason you got drafted out of high school, you know? And they went back to the basics, and here he is now, like, he's playing like Casas of the second half last year, you know, at least in some ways, swinging it like he is. And again, the city loves Dom Smith.
It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Dom Smith when Casas is healthy, because I got to feel like they want to keep him around, but what does that do for your bench having a first base-only left-handed option?
Right, right. And it's a fascinating question. And I think also, too, like, you know, because we hit on this earlier, too, Zach, the conflicting reports today, or the not conflicting reports, it was the conflicting quotes that Tristan Casas gave today, and maybe we could recap that for people right now. So there was a quote that came from Laura Stickles, who does the Nesson field reporting for the WooSox game. She does a great job, and Tristan Casas gave this quote to her. It was, right now when I make contact with the ball, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife right in the ribs. And then he said, when it, you know, right when it happened, I feel like I got shot with a gun, so it's dulled down. So he's saying, okay, it still feels bad, but it feels better. But, like, you read that, and that's so concerning to read. We were just talking about it off air. It's like, you read a quote like that, you're like, why is he even trying to play if that's how he feels? But then Chris Cotillo put this out there that this is what he said later in the, you know, when he was talking to the media. It was a, I think this was a separate conversation that he had with the more with the Boston-based reporters. Chris Cotillo's, you know, he's down there and he's down there in Worcester, right, reporting on the rehabbing here for Tristan Casas, and he says, this is what Tristan Casas said to Chris Cotillo. He said, every swing is 100% effort in there. Then he says, there was not even a thought in my mind that anything was going to hurt when I go in there. So then a question was asked, so you're not feeling it at all? And he said, no, I'm not. In the back of my mind, I'm not holding anything back. He said, the swing is feeling good. Pain is minimal. I'm ready to keep going and continue this process. It's been a long one. A lot of work still to be done. So these quotes came from Tristan Casas, but it was just they. Much different feeling reading both of them, you know, they two different directions. One, it's like it still hurts a lot, and then the other one's like, no, it doesn't.
It's interesting that he says when he swings it's 100%, but it sounds like, I mean, at least in the first quote, the stabbing pain is only when he makes contact.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's a good catch there, Zach. Right, so the one that he gave to Laura was, when I make contact with the ball, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife in the ribs. And right, the one that Chris Cotillo reported on is every swing is 100% in there. Not even a thought in my mind that anything was going to hurt. Yeah, right. And City said later said, the swing is feeling good. The pain is minimal. I'm ready to keep going and continue this process. It's been a long one. I know. It's one of those I need to see it him playing consistently to truly believe that he's going to be coming back.
Yeah, and it seemed like that consistency wasn't necessarily going to come until next week.
Right, right. And what Chris Cotillo ended up, of Mass Live, he ended up reporting later, you know, just putting it out there, that Blue Sox manager Chad Tracy said the organizational plan is to have Casas play 5 of the 6 games in Syracuse next week, including 3 in a row. So this weekend, so tomorrow he's going to be a DH, and then Sunday he's going to play first base. But then it's next week he'll be really playing more consistently. So we'll see. I think, Zach, that's kind of where my head's at with it is, like, you know, unless he's really messing around by giving out that first quote, I think that I want to see it first, see him feel pain-free, you know, before we really can even have those conversations about Dom Smith, because if he's still hurting, you need Dom Smith in this lineup and on this roster.
Yeah, so I think I maybe just pieced it together while we were going through this. So Casas obviously has to be back up in 20 days or placed back on the IL.
Yeah.
So maybe they bring him back up in however many days and do a slow sort of ramp up. And maybe you have Nick Sogard who has options. You send him back down. Romy kind of fills in that utility infield role. And then you can slowly ramp Casas back up and then still have Dom Smith there who's been playing solid.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, and it would make, I think that would make sense. And that's the beauty of having Romy Gonzalez too, is that you can place him in so many different spots. He's been great too. I don't know. I look at the offensive side of this team. Like, I just love the makeup right now. And I don't think it's a fluke at all. And that's like, that's what makes it fun. They go into any start against a right-handed pitcher specifically, it's like, yeah, they're probably going to win this game. Or at least they're going to put up a lot of numbers on the offensive side of things. And you and I were talking about this too. Like, we've talked about the left-handed pitching conversation against Red Sox hitters. I feel like it's a little bit overblown because they're probably better than you think they are. I know that they're below 500 against left-handed starting pitchers, but against left-handed pitchers in general, OPS is 12th, so it's a little bit better than league average. On base is 7th. You know, the average wise are dead in the middle of 15th, or right in the middle of 15th, and they walk a lot. The biggest problem they have is they strike out a ton. They have the worst strikeout rate against left-handed pitchers. But this team can bang it with anybody, as they showed again tonight. And again, I talked about all the guys they have. It's like all-star in Duran, franchise hitter in Devers, Tyler O'Neill, perfect complimentary right-handed batter, young talent. And again, we already know it's waiting in the wings with these top prospects. I just look at this team and I'm like, okay, the future is really showing itself out, especially now knowing Alex Cora is going to be here for a couple more years. Like, with him in tow for three more years, with what's coming up through the pipeline, and then this lineup with guys that are going to be in the lineup for years now, whew, it's getting scary for opposing pitchers. The question now becomes, their pitching staff needs to find a way to stabilize itself. Because the trend of ERAs from month to month has already happened, and it can't get worse. And that becomes the key question. Will they have enough in that rotation to finish out this season strong? I think the bullpen is going to be way more improved now that they have the guys that they have. Slayton and Martin, you know, hopefully join this team pretty soon. And then you have a nasty bullpen. But the guys that are starting it out, those are the guys I think are the biggest question mark on this team in terms of the grouping of them. This team has holes. We know infield defense has been tough for this group. We know offensively, as much as I'm just praising them right now, they strike out a lot. But that starting group, Red Sox Nation turns its lonely eyes to you.
It's really interesting, too, because, so, I mean, we'll say they do get into the playoffs. In a playoff series, you really just need, like, five innings out of the starters where they get relatively unscathed, and then you can turn it over to, like you said, a really nasty bullpen.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention Liam Hendricks, too. Like, hopefully he's back relatively soon for this group. So you add him into the mix. And he did a full simulated run from the bullpen today, and then he hopped onto the infield grass, and he pretended to catch the ball from the ump. So, and this was fun. Will Middlebrooks, he actually played along with this and did a check for like the sticky stuff too. I love that. That's so fun. But again, hopefully he joins this group soon, working his way back from Tommy John surgery. So it could be a really nasty group. And I think there's so many weapons in that bullpen too that it's set up in a way that there's not going to be a Johan Ramirez or a guy that you don't feel comfortable pitching out there. There are going to be a lot of weapons for them to go to. And you're right. Right. In the postseason, it's a different game. A lot of times you only need five innings and then you can turn it to that bullpen. The question is, can the Red Sox get there? And that's going to be the discussion we're going to be having through the rest of the summer and into the fall. But the final tonight, Red Sox 11, Rangers 6. Nick Sogard gets his first hit in his big league career. Congratulations to him. And the Red Sox offense just continues to be relentless. Back at it tomorrow. Red Sox and Rangers. First pitch coming up at 7:05. MassMutual pregame show at 6:05. I'll have that coverage for you. Will Fleming, Lou Maloney on the call from Arlington. Zach Coe, great work behind the glass. I'm Joe Weil. Give you the final one final time, because it's always good to recap a Red Sox win. Red Sox win 11-6 over the Texas Rangers. Enjoy the rest of your night. Get some good sleep. Back at it tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.